Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, a new era for Irish tourism. That's according to government as they launched a 4.7 billion euro investment plan for the sector over the next 5 years. It comes as concerns around global economic outlook with the potential for a new boss of the US Fed having implications on other economies. For more on this now, I'm joined on the line by Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment. You're very welcome, Minister.
Thank you, Katie. Good evening.
Good evening. Can I ask you first about that story we were covering earlier in the programme? That is the launch of the criminal investigation into the Fed Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell. He believes this is evidence of direct interference in the independence of the Fed. Do you agree with him?
Well, first of all, I think when you have independent institutions which govern such important areas like monetary policy, independence is critical. And Ireland obviously is a very strong proponent of rule of law. And that's critical to enshrined independence of our institutions. And you would be very much concerned about any legal action taken against an independent institution within any country. And it's not an avenue that you would like to see being taken.
Would you have worries about the impact on inflation and on markets around the world?
Well, it's very difficult to assess at this point in time. Obviously, the Fed is critical in terms of the impact that it has globally in setting interest rates. And you can see the repercussions of that over past generations in terms of monetary and fiscal decisions taken by the US economy because of its scale and it's so big in terms of the global economy. So it's very difficult to predict what way things will work out because, as you know, Katie, from week to week in the American administration, things change quite quickly. So it's just very difficult to predict the future.
OK, let's get on to your own portfolio then, things we can maybe better predict. Last week you were announcing a new era for the Irish tourism sector with a 4.7 billion euro investment plan over the next 5 years. So who will benefit from this, Minister? Where are you going to spend this?
Well, first of all, the rural economy will benefit very significantly. It's key that we have a very strong tourism sector. Our tourism sector is our largest indigenous piece of the economy. About 230,000 employees are supported by it, one in every 10 jobs. And we have 46,000 SMEs operating on it. And one of the key things I wanted to do when I was handed the tourism brief is to reflect that it is now in the Department of Enterprise. We do things much differently and we really ensure that the strategy we set forth now will enshrine growth in the sector. So I'm really excited about our new plan. We have about 400 million euro to deploy over the next 5 years in terms of promoting our tourism, lengthening the season, which will be very important because about 50% of our visitors come between June and September. So I want to extend from St. Bridget's Day out to Halloween. I have a very exciting all-island culinary strategy, which I'll be bringing forward. Again, we know about 34% of expenditure is in food and drink. And I think we can do a huge amount more in that area. And also in regenerative tourism, we have to just transition in the Midlands about 30 million euro, which we can do a huge amount more and grow our less mature markets as well. So I think we have a very exciting horizon for Irish tourism.
You've been critical, though, of what you said was a lack of political direction over a number of years. You said you saw boots on the ground leaving key markets. Who are you talking about there? Who was failing to bring the political direction for the tourism sector?
Well, essentially, I've reframed the policy. So heretofore, unfortunately, over a number of years, resources were taken out of key markets like the Asia Pacific region, the UAE, North America as well. So what I'm trying to do at the moment is act on evidence. When we have a new route, a direct flight open up, of which we have, for example, 27 in North America, we have Detroit, Nashville and Denver, which opened up recently, I want to ensure we have resources to mirror those policy changes to ensure that we are absorbing the opportunity and able to sell and get visitors into Ireland. So we're putting back people on the ground in North America and in the Asia Pacific region through Tourism Ireland. And some may not be high numbers, but they are high value. And that's a change in policy that I'm directing now as Minister for Tourism.
Is it responsible, though, to be encouraging long-haul tourism at a time when we're seeing devastating consequences of climate change in many of those long haul destinations?
No, absolutely it is. We are an island economy and obviously aviation transformation has a long way to go in terms of making it more sustainable. And we will very much work in the innovation piece in trying to achieve that. But as an island economy, we need to be very clear that we are open for business, for tourism. And those high value markets are ones which I will be going after, ensuring that we are bringing more tourists in. And we have seen over the last number of months, the fourth consecutive month where we have an increase in tourism numbers come into our country. November was actually up 13%, and with spend at around 347 million euros, up 10%. So that'll breed new life into communities. And the vision I have set out very clearly through the 71 actions over the next 5 years will bring a huge amount of employment and really get us to sell our authentic experience that we're so special that we have right around our country.
Of course, this legislation, this comes as legislation is being drafted to lift the passenger cap for Dublin Airport as well. I'm looking at those two areas together. It's easy to know there's no Greens in government now, isn't it?
No, we're taking our responsibility on sustainability very seriously, and you can demonstrate that by what I'm doing in the Department of Enterprise. We have 300 million euro really set aside for decarbonisation. We're working in partnership with so many industries in the private sector to decarbonise. And you can see from Diageo, one of the oldest brewing brands, 265 years old, they have set a plan in partnership with the Irish government to become carbon neutral. And a lot of other industries have done so. And that's working in partnership. And through our tourism as well, and through our policy, we're very much focused on reducing our carbon emissions, looking at food waste and other areas, and bringing down our emissions by 45% by 2030 on 2018 levels. So we have the plans in place to continue with reducing our carbon emissions and making ourselves more sustainable. And that's going to be very important right across government.
But the Minister has just acknowledged that we're going to miss our carbon targets by 50%.
Well, in my sector, I'm very much on target in the business sector. There are one or two areas which are quite challenging for me in enterprise, like our cement sector, which are obviously the processes involved in that does need more innovation. But we've upped the innovation supports, which we will achieve the decarbonisation in a number of those areas. So currently, I'm trying to reduce by 35% by 2030, and we're very much on target to achieve that in the enterprise sector. And we have a lot more money to put forward over the next 5 years to work hand in glove with so many key sectors. And they are going to be a challenge, Katie. We're very honest about that. But we have to work as hard as we can to achieve it. And we don't want to really close down our country by doing it. That's very important.
Let me ask you about another challenging area then, because there was reports in the Sunday papers that you are bringing a new plan to government this week, to cabinet this week, around data centres. Where are we at with data centres now? Are we going to lift the moratorium that's currently in place in Dublin for new data centres?
No, so what we really have to do is to set about a new policy which essentially guides the sector towards where there is availability on the grid, and make up demand through new energy parks, which is a strong initiative for our government, where we have high energy users on the one campus as large generation facilities. And we're bringing through our private wires legislation this year through Minister Dara O'Brien, which will allow that connectivity. So government has sequenced a number of areas by bringing our CRU policy statement, which the independent authority announced in December. Secondly, I'll be bringing forward large energy user policy, which will show areas of where we want to direct the development of data centres and other big semiconductor and high energy users industry. We'll then be bringing forward a private wires legislation. Okay. And finally, PR6, which will be the very significant capital plan, about 18 billion euro that will have 500 capital projects right around our country.
Okay, but at the bottom line on this, would you like to see more data centres here? Do you think we need to open up to the building of more data centres to keep tech on side and on board and stop investment
It's not about keeping tech on side. This is absolutely pivotal to a modern economy. We have about 175,000 jobs that are really dependent on the IT sector. So much of the innovation through generative AI, through even some of the large industries like our semiconductor sector, are critical to the success of a modern economy. And we need to be able to provide an opportunity for data centres to really captured opportunity and the growth in those key sectors. And the last thing we want to have is that for companies that have been in Ireland for 60, 70, 80 years, for us falling off the investment schedule because we have incapacity in our grid. And secondly, and which is missed by most people who comment on this, we are going to have about in the next two decades, about 37 gigawatts of energy come into our grid. We need demand for that energy. So in other words, we need users. And my view as a minister is I want to see that use being booked, the value of
Ireland. So you're saying, Minister, that our issue is demand for users of the grid, not capacity on the grid, because that's all we've been hearing in recent years, we have a huge capacity issue. And indeed, we've had whole housing estates that have been built that were unable to be used because or nobody was able to move into them because they could not actually get onto the grid themselves.
But that's why I pointed out over the next two decades. So if we forensically look at where we are in relation to our power, by 2030, we'll be bringing in another 6 gigawatts through our offshore renewables. Our demand currently is 6 gigawatts as an economy. We'll be rising to about 37 gigawatts by 2040 and beyond. And when you look at this point in time, that we'll treble our interconnectivity through France and the UK by 2027, we will be bringing a huge amount of energy into the grid because our offshore wind infrastructure is so expansive over the next two and three decades. So we need to plan that. First of all, we are in a bind at the moment, there is no doubt. So we have to really measure what we can give and make available over the next 5-6 years. But once we get beyond that point, we need to demonstrate that we're holding the investment with some of those key companies and that when our demand or when our energy generation becomes at the scale we envisage, that we have users for that. So you need to plan for that and have plans into the future.
Well, Minister, speaking of plans and speaking of planning, you know only too well the difficulties we have had and are likely to have with our planning system, judicial reviews, delays, and we see where that has left us in terms of offshore at this point.
Well, if you even deviate from offshore, we're expecting to have about 9 gigawatts of solar come into our grid by 2030, 8 gigawatts of onshore wind. That's another example of whereby we have a huge amount of onshore generation capacity coming forward. And when you look at onboard Pinola on commission in the first half of last year, a record amount of projects approved in renewable generation. And that's why we need to really plan for the future, that we are in a difficult position. I think everyone has been honest about it right now, but we have to hold that investment for the future because we have a very modern digital economy, hundreds of thousands of jobs, and they're high value jobs that depend on that. And with sovereign AI coming forward in terms of cloud, and people want to have security and rule of law, independent countries managing their data, it's critical that we're at the very forefront to capture that opportunity.
Okay, can I ask you before I let you go on that decision that was made on the Mercosur trade deal last week? I mean, you'll have read some of the commentary over the weekend, EU Commission officials saying that this would be damaging to Ireland's standing, that Ireland was seen as playing small politics, bowing to scaremongering about the impact that this would have on the beef sector and ignoring the positives that were there for other sectors in the economy. Do you accept that you've taken a hit here?
I don't think we've taken a hit because there are a number of countries that have a very strong diplomatic reputation within Europe that are on the same side as us. I think Ireland very firmly is always on the side of open, free, fair and rules-based trade. The critical concern we have here is that our beef sector is very vulnerable. And when you look at the audit that the Commission came forward with in 2024, that pointed out there are a number of areas in terms of traceability, use of prescription antibiotics that there is concerns with. In the Mercosur countries. And we have to be really cognizant of that. And we tried to get additional safeguards. And there have been some, but unfortunately it didn't meet the threshold for a collective government decision.
Well, we have heard much and a whole lot about the downsides or the possible threats engaged in this. But there was nobody out there selling the upside of this trade deal, in particular for the farm and the dairy sectors. And as Minister for Enterprise and Employment, should that not have been your job?
No, absolutely. We're very clear that there is an upside to the trade agreement. But as an economy, we produce about enough food to feed 50 million people every single year. We export 90% of that produce and more. And that's why it is very vulnerable for our beef sector. And those are very important jobs in many rural parts of our economy. And ultimately, you have to decide on balance how much damage is going to be inflicted in that sector. And that's what the government was concerned about. The safeguards that came forward were not enough to reach the threshold of voting for the agreement.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. But for now, Minister Peter Burke, many thanks for joining us.
Now, coming up, should helmets be compulsory for anybody using an e-scooter?